Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcast too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
From KQED.
I'm Alan Montecelio, in for Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay, local news to keep you rooted. California's salmon are still in big trouble, so much so that fishery managers might cancel salmon season for the second straight year. That would have a big impact on the fishers and tribes who rely on salmon for their livelihoods. Now, salmon are dying in large part because of how we manage our water system. But lawmakers and advocates have also identified another issue, a toxic chemical that's used in our everyday life.
I think that was like the moment that flabbergasted me, that like my actions are doing this. And I think that's what separates this story from, say, other salmon stories.
Today, my colleague Ezra David Romero introduces us to one fisher who's worried about this salmon season and tells us about an effort to do something about this problem.
Dick Ogg is the salmon fisherman who lives in Bodega Bay.
My name is Dick Ogg. I own and operate the fishing vessel Karen Jean.
He's 71, and he's been fishing there for something like 51 years.
I'm very passionate about maintaining and supporting the commercial and fishing industry in general.
He's sort of that like grandpa type of person who's funny and who's going to put you in your place and has a lot of information, and he knows salmon really well.
I'm 71 now. So, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a while.
He has this like almost spiritual view of the fish, that they're this strong intellectual creature, you know, that like makes these long journeys from the deep oceans up through watersheds or rivers and lay their eggs up there.
Of all the fish that I can think of, the salmon is probably has one of the greatest spirits of them all. I mean, when they come up, they can take a hook and bend it straight so that they can get away. And if you tried to do that with your own fingers, you couldn't do it. You just couldn't do it.
And when I asked him about, like, if these fish are getting away or there's not enough, he's like, I think that's actually okay. Like, the more fish that can go up the river and spawn, the better. He kind of, like, honors the life cycle of these fish.
What have the past few salmon seasons been like for him, including this one?
The past couple of years have been really tough for Dick because last year they canceled the salmon season altogether, and their fishery managers are warning they might do that again this year because there's just so few salmon in the ocean off the California coast. And that number has been decreasing over time. And he said the last really great year he had was back in 2011. So he hasn't had many good years since then.
I think, you know, to be patient right now is difficult.
How will a lack of salmon affect him?
I think it's a bummer for him in two ways. First of all, you know, his livelihood depends partly on salmon. He does fish other things. But if the salmon go away and people love to eat salmon, and it's a, you know, it's a high dollar fish, you know, that part of his livelihood is essentially gone. He has to figure something else out. And second of all, I think just spiritually, like the fish are something that he has this connection with over time.
I don't know anyone on the commercial end that at this point wants to go try to fish for the minimal potential that we were offered. they would much rather wait and have a reasonable season maybe next year.
So, Ezra, we are talking about this now because California might cancel its salmon season again. What are the chances that could happen?
It seems like they're pretty high. I mean, we won't know for like a month or two if that actually goes down, but all the fisher people I talked to for the story are saying this is what they're hearing is going to happen, so they're preparing for that. The perils against salmon are many. They're dying because we've cut off the waterways or rivers or streams from the ocean. We've put dams up and reservoirs that collect a lot of this water that cut them off from their spawning habitats that are often way upstreams, right? Like up a creek in an area that's with a small amount of water. We also have droughts that decrease water flows in the rivers that also warm up water when we have all these hot days. And that's an effect of human-caused climate change, which is, as a result, warming water as well. There's also overfishing. There's also people's love for salmon, so we're eating a lot more salmon than ever. So all of those things combined create a dire scenario for the salmon that Dick Ogg loves. On top of all those factors like droughts and reservoirs, there's something that everybody uses that's affecting these fish. It's a chemical in tires called 6-PPD. Environmentalists are worried about it. Lawmakers are worried about it. Tribes are worried about it. And even the tire manufacturing industry is thinking about it.
So let's get into this chemical, which I had not heard of before this story. It's called 6-PPD. What is it?
It's this chemical that tire manufacturers put in the slurry that makes tires. It basically preserves them so they don't wear out as fast. And it's in every tire. As you drive your car around town or anywhere, little pieces of your tire break off, right? They wear out. And in those pieces of tire, that chemical exists. Those little pieces that are on the roads. So when we have these really big storms, or really any storm in California, which we know are intensifying because of human-caused climate change, those chemicals get into water and then they flow out to the ocean or they flow out into a river or stream. And when dissolved in that water, fish breathe that in and then it kills them within 2 hours. The idea is that it thickens their blood. And fish have this brain barrier that separates their blood from their brain, but this chemical wears that out and blood floods their brain, essentially like frying their brains.
What do we know about how big of a problem 6-PPD is for salmon?
It's harder to estimate like exactly how many fish have died in California, but when we look at studies from Washington where they've studied this extensively, in some of these creeks and rivers, they found that just in one waterway, up to 90% of salmon died from this. And so it can have like a huge effect. Another study showed that even if the contaminant 6-PPD is diluted by like 95% of water, right, it can still kill fish. They also found this chemical in San Francisco waterways and also in Los Angeles.
Coming up, what federal and state authorities are trying to do about 6-PPD. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up? I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, the host of The Bay. Donations keep independent journalism alive and healthy. And you support outstanding journalism when you support KQED. So if you haven't yet, check out donate.kqed.org/podcasts. That's donate.kqed.org/podcasts with an S.
Are there efforts to ban this since so many people are concerned about its effects on fish and the environment?
Yeah, last summer, tribes from across the West Coast primarily petitioned the U.S. EPA to, you know, have tire manufacturers stop using this chemical. And that sort of resulted in the California Department of Toxic Substances Control. That's the agency that regulates, you know, hazardous substances across the state. They required the tire industry to provide them a list of alternatives. And that was due, I believe, last Friday on the 30th of March. And now that agency has about 2 months to think about, is there an alternative for using this in tires that maybe won't harm other fish or kill these fish as well?
What do tire manufacturers think of this idea if, you know, the government is saying, hey, we might ban a chemical that you use to make your products?
I'm sure at first they weren't really excited that they're going to have to change their ingredient list of something that's been on market for like 50 plus years. But when I talk to the tire industry, you know, they seem very compliant, like they're going to work on this and they're seeing the effects happening to fish. It seems like they're willing to change their ingredient list, but time will tell. And to even change that would take years, maybe decades.
Right, because even if this chemical were banned tomorrow, there are all these tires out there with this chemical already. So what else is being done to reduce the potential harm now?
Well, this assembly member from San Mateo named Diane Pappin introduced a bill in March to do something about this. Her idea is to rid these waterways of 6 PPD. And how she wants to do this is by requiring Caltrans, that's the state's leading transportation agency, to create 5 pilot projects in different ecosystems across the state. 3 of which are in the Bay Area, in San Mateo County, Sonoma, and Contra Costa. And what they want to do is go to 5 areas where a highway, say, goes over a river or a creek, and they want to put in these culverts, you know, which are just little canals, and then put all that water in, say, like a big holding pond. And the idea is that plants and soil will clean the water of this chemical. And after the water's treated, it can go flow into the river and not kill fish.
Could this effort be expanded beyond these 5 pilot projects?
Yeah, the lawmaker also is asking Caltrans to create a map of the areas where salmon are the most at risk as part of this. So they'll do these 5 projects and then they'll get an idea of like, where else can we do this across the state to target the most at-risk populations of salmon.
So we have these kind of 2 ideas in tandem, right? You could ban 6 PPD from being used in tires, which would take a very long time. And then you also have this creative kind of green infrastructure type solution. What's the ideal scenario here?
I think the idea is plainly to like have salmon not die because of this chemical, right? So that means in the near term, treating the water, and in the long term, banning the 6 PPD's use.
I mean, based on what you're saying, Ezra, is it fair to say there is hope to get rid of this dangerous chemical that poses such a threat to our salmon?
All the evidence and interviews I did point to that this chemical could be removed. Tribes alerted the federal government, and now tire manufacturers are paying attention to it and are responsible to the state of California to do something about this. So I think there is positive momentum, but at the same time, I think it's a really big feat. There are millions of cars on California roads. Like, I have a car. I don't really want to put new tires on. I just did. But like, if the tires are killing all these fish, maybe we should. So I think there's a really big feat ahead.
What did you learn in this story that you didn't know before about the challenges facing salmon, our climate, and our water systems?
I quite simply didn't know that this chemical was killing fish from my Prius tires. I drive in the mountains all the time. I go to Sonoma. I like go hiking. I park next to creeks all the time. The tire dust from my car is potentially killing the fish in that. Like, I think that was the moment that flabbergasted me that my actions are doing this. And I think that's what separates this story from, say, other salmon stories that are about how our water infrastructure is set up, or like how we've built our waterways in California, or like what water managers are doing to like decrease water flows. This is about something that we all do.
And it also seems like, at least in this case, there could be a clear path forward to reducing or even eliminating this problem.
Definitely. Perhaps a solution is nigh or coming up close. There's positive momentum here, and you don't often hear that with salmon stories.
Ezra, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That was Ezra David Romero, a climate reporter for KQED. This conversation was cut down by Ellie Prickett Morgan. Dana Cronin scored this episode and added the tape. Additional production support from myself and Maria Eskinka. Music courtesy of Audio Network and Universal Production Music. The Bay is a production of member-supported KQED in San Francisco. I'm Alan Montecilio, in for Erica Cruz Guevara. Thanks for listening. What's your favorite Beyoncé album?
I think Renaissance. My favorite Beyoncé song is Freakum Dress. Everyone forgets about it, but, you know, we all have that dress or outfit that you wear to the club.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. You get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night, knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.